What's going on, everybody? It's Slay Diddy, a.k.a. Professor Slay, a.k.a. Mr. WGXE, and you are listening to WGXE Acre 90.7 FM and WGXE.org. Listen in, y'all.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXE Morning Show. And today we're going to hear from retired meteorologist Hugh Johnson. He's going to tell us about recent flooding. We'll guess if the April showers will ever stop and if it's going to actually get warm this week. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news on your solar-powered community radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network.
There are all sorts of local community events in the WGXC community calendar online, wgxc.org. You can even add your own there. There's a button called Add an Event. You press the Add an Event button and then fill in the blanks, and soon enough, your community calendar listing is on wgxc.org in the community calendar. And it's also being read on the radio right now, including the band Ballister comes to Kingston in April, April 13th. The international free jazz noise trio Ballister, with saxophonist Dave Rempus, cellist Fred Lundberg Holm, and drummer PNL from Norway, start their 2022 U.S. tour at Kingston's Tubby's. Find out more about this event, a link to Tubby's website, and more in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Paul Kirby reports for the Daily Freeman that the Central Hudson Gas and Electric Company announced April 11th that electric bills will likely increase again in this month, as supply costs have continued to climb, according to the utility. Central Hudson's announcement comes at a complicated time for the company. It is nearly 2 weeks after it was reported that natural gas prices were up, and as investigations by the Public Service Commission and a state Senate committee continue into the company, all while thousands of complaints from customers concerned with their rapidly increasing bills continue to arrive in mailboxes. As of April 11th, PSC had received more than 2,700 comments via an online portal. In its statement, the utility said that, quote, regional and global market forces continue to edge electricity and natural gas prices higher for April, unquote. Central Hudson's residential price for electric supply has gone from 11.6 cents in March to 13.6 cents effective April 11th. Quote, as previously announced, natural gas prices rose from 91.6 cents per 100 cubic feet in March to 97.1 cents per cubic feet in April, beginning April 1st, unquote, the company said. The company said the impacts of the supply bills will vary for customers depending on their billing cycle and energy usage. Central Hudson denied that it marks up the price of the energy supply. Quote, higher prices are attributed to a recovering economy, energy supply constraints, strong energy demands, and global events, unquote, the utility said. In addition, delivery charges will also go up in July. The increases in delivery charges received approval from the PSC in November. That plan includes a subsequent increase in delivery charges in July 2023. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Chloe Callahan reports in the Times Union that Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro has backed off partially his plan to give $12.5 million in taxpayer money for a minor league baseball stadium. This comes after the state was going to give almost $1 billion in taxpayer money to the billionaire owners of the Buffalo Bills for a new stadium. Governor Kathy Hochul eventually lowered that number somewhat, but still gave the billionaires a lot of taxpayer money. In Dutchess County, Molinaro backed off and redirected $9.5 million of the stadium money for housing needs. Molinaro, a Republican, is running for Congress, trying to unseat Democrat Antonio Delgado, and likely did not want the stadium money criticism lingering over his campaign. Dutchess County Minority Leader Yvette Valdez-Smith said, and I quote, "This should have been the case from the get-go. Our county needs so much assistance. Our housing market has really boomed, but it has really hit us hard as communities. There are a lot of renters in my own district trying to buy their first home and simply cannot. Prices have really gone up," end quote. Last month, Molinaro was defending the money for the stadium. Molinaro said, and I quote, "If there was one industry impacted the most by the closures of the economy, it was tourism. In the case of Dutchess County Stadium, it's the tourism destination for thousands and thousands of people every night for most of the year," end quote. Now, though, he is talking about the housing shortage. He said, and I quote, "It's a real crisis for ordinary families. Compound that with highest rates of inflation in years, high mortgage rates, it's a challenge," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Mid-Hudson News reports that 7 years have passed since the toxins PFOS and PFOA were found in Washington Lake, the now former primary source for drinking water in the city of Newburgh. Subsequent investigations determined the cause was firefighting foam leaching from the nearby Stuart Air National Guard base. The lake was terminated as the city water source when the chemicals were discovered, and since then Newburgh has been getting its water from the New York City aqueduct system. U.S. Representative Sean Patrick Maloney now says city residents should feel secure in knowing the water they are drinking is safe. Quote, "The fact is you have had a pretty comprehensive solution, an expensive one, but a comprehensive solution that kept the people safe," unquote, he said. Quote, "In the federal legislation that Senator Charles Schumer and I secured last year, you are going to have the Department of Defense bear the cost of the remediation of cleaning up the contaminated areas because it shouldn't fall on local taxpayers. We've got that well under control, and residents are safe in drinking clean water," unquote, Maloney said. The state installed a carbon filtration system for the lake, but it has never been used. And the federal government has yet to move forward with the actual remediation of the contamination from the Air National Guard base. The Hudson Valley has poisonous drinking water from these chemicals in several sites. The Columbia County Health Department in February reported that water supplies for the village of Valencia and New Lebanon High School have tested at PFOS levels above New York State's maximum contaminant level. In Cairo, the drinking water at the elementary school and in the town are contaminated after years of firefighters testing foam to put out blazes that was made with the chemicals. Likewise, with the water in Hoosick Falls in Rensselaer County. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Mid-Hudson News reports that the state legislature made two changes to voting rights in the budget it passed last week. New York will now provide postage-paid envelopes for voters asking for absentee ballots. And the legislature created a new rule that institutions of higher education with over 300 residents must host a polling place on their campus beginning with the 2022 general election. Locally, that will affect Bard College students because Dutchess County Republicans have been trying to keep a polling place off that campus. Jonathan Becker, executive vice president of Bard College, said the legislation is, and I quote, critical because it will stop practices designed to suppress student voting, including situating polling in locations that are difficult to access and dividing campuses into multiple districts. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that according to the guidance issued April 11th by the State Liquor Authority, sandwiches, soups, and salads are, quote, substantial food items, unquote, but a bag of chips or a bowl of nuts, not so much. The guidance was issued days after state lawmakers and Governor Kathy Hochul completed work on a $220 billion state spending plan that allows to-go drinks with takeout food orders. The policy will remain in place for up to 3 years. As part of the guidance from state regulators, sandwiches, soups, wings, and hot dogs are among the food items that must also be ordered with to-go cocktails. But, quote, a bag of chips, bowl of nuts, or candy alone, unquote, do not qualify according to the guidance. Patrons are also restricted from purchasing large bottles, such as wine or liquor, quote, in a bottle, box, can, or other similar container, unquote, that was purchased by the retailer from a wholesaler. The rules issued by the state are similar to those put in place during the early weeks of the COVID pandemic, when restaurants and taverns were permitted to offer alcoholic beverages to go with takeout orders. The provision was seen as a lifeline for struggling restaurants, which were shut down during the first months of the pandemic. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Valerie White reports for Porcupine Soup that a new farmer's market will be open May 2nd at Shingle Kill Falls Bed and Breakfast in Perling. Jill Laminek, proprietor of the B&B, said, and I quote, this is something Cairo needs, somewhere we can go to get fresh fruits and vegetables, end quote. The market will run from 4 to 7 p.m. Mondays, May through October, and will accept SNAP benefits. Vendors announced so far include C&B Kitchen of Cairo, Old Factory Brewing Company of Cairo, La Casa Latina of Catskill, and Left Bank Cider of Catskill. To contact the market, email shinglekillmarket@gmail.com and find out more about the Shingle Kill Falls Bed and Breakfast at www.shinglekill.com. You can read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. Bloomberg News reports that AT&T's DirecTV will drop the propaganda channel One American News Network this week, while local outlet Mid-Hudson Cable continues to include the channel. Mid-Hudson Cable, based in Catskill, added the network last year and another from owner Herring Networks Incorporated as a lifestyle channel, AWE, that stands for A Wealth of Entertainment. Mid-Hudson Cable already carries Newsmax, another propaganda network masquerading as a news channel, and Fox News, where a judge ruled recently that Tucker Carlson's show could not be considered news. OAN, though, has been repeatedly lying about who won the 2020 presidential election, about how serious the COVID-19 pandemic is, and now about Russia's war in Ukraine. Here is one of OAN's hosts recently lying about Russia on air.
So, what's the most recent story cooked up by the American Pravda? Well, it turns out that the Russians, Democrats' favorite adversary, blew up a hospital, killing several people, including a child. Perhaps war crimes are being committed. Perhaps civilians are being murdered, but perhaps they aren't.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, a chance of showers mainly before 10 a.m. It will be cloudy through mid-morning, then gradually clearing with a temperature high near 66 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 42 degrees. And on Wednesday, a chance of showers mainly between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 65 degrees. And Wednesday night, a chance of showers mainly after 8 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 53 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
On Tuesday, April 12th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m., we head to Catskill with Corey McClaskland and his Forgotten Geek program. Then at 11 a.m., we hear the Early Electro Mix show featuring works this week from famous Albany composer Joel Chattaby, plus also Carol Apple, Giuliani Sergini, and others. At noon, it's time for Rob Saffer's Overlook show live from Ulster County. This week he's playing new music from John Colpitz, Sonic Youth, Acid Mothers Reynolds, John Zorn's new Masada Quartet, and others. Tune in WGXC's Congressional Report with all the news of the Hudson Valley representatives in Washington and the candidates who want to replace them at 4 p.m. on the WGXC Afternoon Show. Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda talks all the latest movie news and more, 7 p.m. from Amanda Lees and Jenny Getty. Andy French's Crawl Out from the Fallout is at 8 p.m. And then Dan Seward is live with the Battlefield Earth Show from somewhere in Columbia County at 10 p.m. on the radio at 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Two Hudson Valley-based bands, Frenchie and the Punk and the Dust Bowl Fairies, perform at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock on May 12th at 8 p.m. You can find out more in the WGXC community calendar about the two bands. Frenchie and the Punk is French-born singer and percussionist Samantha Stevenson and American guitarist Scott Helland, who played with Deep Wound. The Dust Bowl Fairies include Ryder Cooley, John B. Wooden, Liz LeJudis, Andrew Stein, and Ruby LaRue. Again, they're at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock Thursday, May 12th at 8 p.m. Go to the WGXC community calendar online to find out more information about this show and many others.
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music, plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles, alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, April 12th. Early morning temperatures range from 47 in Mackey to 50 in Cheviot. Soil temperature is 45 degrees. A cool, wet morning will give way to a still cool but sunny afternoon. Rain stops by noon. A high of 69 happens around 4 p.m. And along with that, we will have some stiff breezes keeping the need for a jacket and or a hoodie in a lot of places. Overnight, temperatures fall to 41 by dawn. Then, a high of 69 around 3 p.m., which is also when light rain chances return to the area. Hey, it's springtime. The plants and aquifers all need it. Rain continues overnight as temperatures drop to 56 degrees. Then, on Thursday, a stormy afternoon with a high of 75. 46 degrees overnight takes us into a dry and pleasant-looking Friday with a high of 66. Pollen levels for today will be still medium, but a couple models show an increase as the week goes on. So stock up on antihistamines now. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 12:31 a.m., then low tide at 6:48 a.m. High tide again at 12:36 p.m., then low tide once again at 7:27 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 44 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:18 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:16 a.m. Looking way up, we see on Thursday a significant coronal mass ejection is expected to collide with Earth, causing G2 class storms. An aurora watch for our latitude will be on. Solar wind speed is currently 449 kilometers per second at 4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 24. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Early Electromix is a series to document the history of experimental electronic music from the 50s to the 80s. Pioneers who paved the way for what was to become techno, ambient, electronica, and most of what we are listening to. Essential Culture on air every Tuesday from 11 to 12 a.m.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of David Gorin of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hi, folks. Before we begin taping today, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Peter Jenks of the Federal Communications Commission. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Barris. I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but it's a federal offense to make lascivious remarks on a television network broadcast. The penalty for this disgusting,
un-American behavior is 1 year in prison, or a $10,000 fine, or both. Making a sick, submersive remark tonight will be arrested immediately. I then will personally escort the offender to federal prison for booking under Edict Number 364 of the Broadcasting Act of 1963. And it's a long drive to that prison, baby. Just you and me. No witnesses.
Okay, have fun, everybody. All right.
Oh, the ragman draws circles up and down the block. I'd ask him what the matter was, but I know that he don't talk. And the ladies treat me kindly, and they furnish me with tape. But deep inside my heart, I know I can't escape. Mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again. Well, Shakespeare, he's in the alley with his pointed shoes and his bells, speaking to some French girl who says she knows me well. Send a message to find out if she's talked. But the post office has been stolen and the mailbox is locked. Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a movie with the Memphis Blues again. Mona tried to tell me to stay away from the train line. She said that all the railroad men just drink up your blood like wine. And I said, oh, I didn't know that. But then again, there's only one I've met, and he just smoked my eyelids and punched my cigarette. Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again. Grandpa died last week, and now he's buried in the rocks. But everybody still talks about how badly they were shocked. But me, I expected it to happen. I knew he'd lost control when I speed built a fire on Main Street and shot it full of holes. Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues again. Now the senator came down here, showing everyone his gun, handing out free tickets to the wedding of his son. And me, I nearly got busted, and wouldn't it be my luck to get caught without a ticket and be discovered beneath the truck. Oh, is this really the end? To be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again. Now the tea preacher looked so baffled when I asked him why he dressed with 20 pounds of headlines stapled to his chest. But he cursed me when I proved to him. Then I whispered, said, not even you can hide. You see, you're just like me. I hope you're satisfied. Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues again. Now the rain man gave me two cures, then he said, jump right in. The one was Texas medicine, the other was just railroad gin. And like a fool, I mixed them, and it strangled up my mind. And now people just get uglier, and I have no sense of time. Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again. When Ruthie says, come see her in her honky-tonk lagoon, where I can watch her waltz for free neath her Panamanian moon. And I say, oh, come on now, you know about my debutante. And she says, your debutante just knows what you need, but I know what you want. Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again. Now the bricks lay on Grand Street where the neon madmen clam. They all fall there so perfectly, it all seems so well timed. Sit so patiently, waiting to find out what price you have to pay to get out of going through all these things twice. Oh, mama, is this really the end? To be stuck here inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
Despite efforts to mitigate the toll of human-induced climate change, New Yorkers and billions of others around the world still are impacted by its consequences and remain at risk for future widespread disruptions. That's according to new findings from the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which notes that even as world governments continue their race to zero for net zero carbon emissions by 2050, more urgent action is required to avoid irreversible impact. Ulster County Executive Patrick Ryan explains that while his area is ahead of schedule for short-term 2030 goals, human-induced climate anomalies continue to cause serious problems.
Unequivocally, we've been absolutely battered by a whole host of storms over the last decade. And even just last week, we had near unprecedented rains and flooding. Every single storm is devastating farms. It's impacting businesses, forcing people out of their homes. Floods that are supposed to be happening every 100 years are happening multiple times a year now.
The IPCC's ongoing sixth assessment report stresses a narrowing window for action before climate hazards become unavoidable and irreversible. ICLEI, Local Governments for Sustainability, is the largest global network working to solve sustainability challenges. ICLEI USA Director Angie Fife says while the country must make enormous short-term progress to meet President Joe Biden's goal of 2050 net zero carbon emissions, the technology needed already is available.
The median number for cities in the United States is about 63% reduction by 2030. And that is a huge number in just 8 short years. We don't have to invent new technology. The policy instruments, again, already exist and in many communities are already in place. So that was hopeful.
Ryan says protecting the environment is not only moral, it's also good for the economy. Ulster County now has a Green Careers Academy with local community colleges and other education orgs.
We're training our young people and workers across the board in things like clean building technology, solar installation and maintenance. And as new green jobs are sort of coming to the fore and being added, this will allow us to make sure that our local residents and especially our young people are able to experience economic benefits and wins from moving to clean and renewable energy.
Ryan says Ulster County was the first in New York and one of the first across the country to implement a Green New Deal plan at the local level. For New York News Connection, I'm Chance Dorland. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Retired meteorologist Hugh Johnson joins us. We're taping this ahead of time. Hugh plans on being back with us live next week. Hey, Hugh, hope you've had a good week.
I have. I hope you have too, Blaze. What a lovely day. We finally got a break from the wind, the rain, and the cold.
Yeah, not much in the way in terms of breaks. That's for sure. And one of the things we're going to be talking about only sort of inflames that being flooding. So I saw or have seen over the past few days some stuff about flood warnings and whatnot. The other day, well, before we started taping here, you said that you saw over 2 inches of rain on your weather gauge.
That's correct. 2.32, the most I've had in quite some time. And yeah, flooding is, unfortunately, it looks as if, again, every event you can't blame on climate change, but the trend is not our friend. We're getting overall more rain, 3 inches more rain a year on average, and that's going to mean more flooding because that's more. And the other thing is a lot of times systems are bringing more rain with them because they have warmer air. Warmer air holds more moisture, and they're still these sort of strong storms, some of them. We've been in a very stormy pattern since the collapse of the polar vortex. We brought that really cold air down, and then it kind of seems to have produced all kinds of knots in the jet stream, and we're getting these cutoff lows, and they're coming at us, and we're going to get another one later this week. So we have a break now, and we got the warmer temperatures, so we'll enjoy it while we have it. But flooding is definitely on the uptick, it looks like.
Yeah, how come we're getting all these weird sort of weather patterns that we've been experiencing lately?
Well, again, the short term, perhaps a collapse of the polar vortex, it brings down the cold air, and it kind of like it produces knots in the jet stream, and these knots produce what are called cutoff lows. They move slower, they're deeper, and they can bring a lot of precipitation to an area. It happens often in the spring, but this one seems to be happening earlier and with pretty good vengeance. There's been a lot of tornado outbreaks to our south, and there's been some snow up north, and particularly in the plains, and they're going to get a lot more of that this week. We're on the warm side, so we're going to get rain, but we're going to be, again, the trend is very, very disturbing, but I think it's getting wetter around here, and that's just the way it is. It won't always be that way, but that's the average, the climatic average.
For sure. Hugh Johnson with me here, Blaze Bryant, on Hudson Mohawk Magazine, as we're talking all things weather. Now, you previously worked for the National Weather Service. We're talking about flooding. As we're here in this sort of Hudson River region right along the river, what should people know in terms of flood safety?
Very good question. And the main thing is to know your floodplain situation. You can go to, I believe you can go to your federal agency or go to your town district and find out if you're on a floodplain or not. That's the first thing. When you live somewhere, it's always good to know if you're vulnerable to flooding. If you're next to a river, you probably are vulnerable for flooding. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky. I live a little bit on a hill, so I seem to be away from it. But again, everyone's in a different situation. You want to make sure that in a flood situation, you know how to get to higher ground safely. That's the first thing. The other thing is turn around, don't drown. We keep saying that in the Weather Service. Every time there's a flood, some clown goes plowing through the running water and then gets stuck or worse. It's just, if you see running water on a road that looks like it's up to your hubcaps, do not drive over that. Those are probably the two most important things you can do to help yourself with flooding, because there's different types of flooding. There's generalized ponding flooding. There's river flooding, which is bad. That's the kind that causes a lot of damage. But the most deadly is flash flooding. And what's different about that is you get a flood that happens very quickly and usually involves rapidly moving water. And those are the ones that cause the deaths. There are a lot of them out west, but we have them here in the east too. And those are the most dangerous, usually involved with the most intense, heavy rainfall, convective and thunderstorms, things like that. Whereas river flooding can be snow melt or just a gradual rain that goes on for days. Flash flooding is much heavier rainfall and much more dangerous.
Sure, and I'm guessing that we didn't have any of the flash flooding that we, you know, from the rain a few days ago. We managed to get through that okay, right?
I don't know if that was totally true. I didn't see any flash flood warnings personally issued. I think it was mostly just generalized flooding. There were roads that were closed mostly because of the river waters moving over them. But there might have been some what we call the ponding, which is not quite as, it's more like a puddle, the large puddles, like, which usually aren't deadly. So I think it was more along that line. It was more of a stratiform rain. It wasn't a convective, but it did have some heavy elements. So I guess it wouldn't have been surprising if there were a few little tiny flash floods around. But no, it wasn't a big flash flood event, thank goodness. They always usually come later in the season towards summer, but they can come in the winter too, or in the colder season, I should say.
Yeah, it almost feels like with the way the weather has been this year that anything could come at any time, really.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, this is a joke. Well, it's not a joke, but one of the models was forecasting, are you ready for this? A 40-inch snowstorm on April 20th, about 4 or 5 days ago. Now it's gone now. But there is a it was the GFS. But now it looks to me like there's going to be some kind of storm, probably rain, right around Easter to early part of that next week. So it looks very unsettled during that period, that's for sure.
Yeah, so might not be a bad idea to keep the Easter egg hunts indoors, is what you're saying?
Yeah, because I'll tell you, it's pretty muddy out there in spots. It really is. And I went by, so I biked past the Norman Skill, and that was quite a wild looking and had a muddy look to it. So it was a lot of water was flowing through on the Norman Skill. There's just a lot of water out there.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hugh Johnson with me, Blaze Bryant, as we're talking all things weather here on Hudson Mohawk Magazine. We have about 3 minutes left here, Hugh. Before we get to a weather forecast, what else is on your radar in terms of news?
Well, just basically that we're entering. Here's a funny thing. We're actually in the fire weather season now, but I think with so much rain, it's probably not going to be a real problem. But the problem is we're not quite greened up, although I think the rain's going to really green us up pretty quickly. But in that transient state, that's when we get our – the only time of year that there's ever really a threat of brush fires, not that it's a big threat, but again, there is an outdoor burn ban. It still goes into effect until May 14th because this is the time of year where they could spread pretty quickly. We get the antecedent conditions, and you don't even have to have a dry ground for this. If it's really low humidity and you got a good wind blowing, you can start a brush fire even when the ground's not that dry. So it's not out, so it certainly is a possibility. You could, even with all the wet weather, still have some fire weather issues. Probably not a big deal, but something to keep in the back of your mind and don't outdo any outdoor burning.
For sure. All right, we've got 2 minutes left here. What is the rest of our week looking like other than straight up wet?
Well, it's not going to be wet the whole time, Blaze. That's the good news, but it's changeable, I guess. So we're going to get a little rain tonight. A warm front moves through tomorrow. Looks like it starts out wet, and then it's going to improve. It's actually going to turn into a decent, I think, afternoon with temperatures popping into the 60s. And looking at Wednesday, there could be a few more showers. It doesn't look like a big deal, but there will be a few showers. It'll still be pretty mild. And then Thursday should be the warmest day of the week. We could soar into the 70s and possibly make a run near 80 degrees. It's true. You heard that right. It will be kind of windy. And there will probably be a line of showers and maybe thunderstorms coming in late with a cold front. And then with any luck at all, Friday looks pretty decent with temperatures closer to 60, but that's still pretty good for this time of year. And then the weekend, unfortunately, the holiday weekend looks unsettled right now. It looks like there will be some showers, at least part of it. It gets hard to time right now, but it looks like temperatures will trend down, not real cold, but back to normal. So it's definitely going to be a changeable week for sure.
Yeah, which is kind of the par for the course with how things have been, it seems.
Absolutely. Oh, it's very true. The jet stream is quite active and undulating, as we talked about.
Yeah, really aggravates the spring allergies and all that stuff, for sure.
They're coming out early. They're going to kind of, because everything is getting plenty of rain and it's not super cold now. So I think we're going to see allergies, in my opinion, be a lot earlier this year than normal. We've already seen my first mosquitoes back in March. I already got bit by mosquitoes in March.
Yeah, it's really really been, frankly, fascinating here, Hugh Johnson, as we are flat out of time, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me. It's been good getting to know you a bit more, and we look forward to having you on live next week.
All right, Blaze.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Darkness at the break of noon, shadows even the silver spoon, the handmade blade, the child's balloon, eclipses both the sun and moon, to understand you know too soon, there's no sense in trying. As pointed threats they bluff with scorn, suicide remarks are torn from the fool's gold mouthpiece, the hollow horn plays wasted words, proves to warn that he not busy being born is busy dying. Temptation's page flies out the door. You follow, find yourself at war. Watch waterfalls of pity roar. You feel the moan, but unlike before, you discover that you just be one more person crying. So don't fear if you hear a foreign sound to your ear. It's all right, Ma. I'm only sighing. As some won victory, some downfall, private reasons, great or small, can be seen in the eyes of those that call to make all that should be killed to crawl, while others say don't hate nothing at all except hatred. Disillusion, words like bullets bark as human gods aim for their mark. Make everything from toy guns that spark to flesh-colored Christ that glow in the dark. It's easy to see without looking too far that not much is really sacred. Preachers preach of evil fates, teachers teach that knowledge waits, can lead to $100 plates, goodness hides behind its gates, but even the President of the United States sometimes must have to stand naked. Though the rules of the road have been lodged, it's only people's games that you got to dodge. And it's all right, Ma. I can make it. Advertising signs that con you into thinking you're the one that can do what's never been done, that can win what's never been won. Meantime, life outside goes on all around you. You lose yourself, you reappear, you suddenly find you got nothing to fear. Alone you stand with nobody near, when a trembling distant voice unclear startles your sleeping ears to hear that somebody thinks they really found you. A question in your eyes is lit, yet you know there is no answer fit to satisfy and show you not to quit, to keep it in your mind and not forget that it is not he or she or them or it that you belong to. Though the masters make the rules for the wise men and the fools, I got nothing more to live up to. them that must bow down to authority that they do not respect in any degree, who despise the jobs of destiny, speak jealously of them that are free, cultivate what they do to be nothing more than something they invest in. While some on principles baptized to strict party platform ties, social clubs in drag disguise, outsiders they can freely criticize, till nothing's helped you to idolize and say God bless him. While one who sings with his tongue on fire gargles in the rat race choir, bent out of shape from society's pliers, cares not to come up any higher, but rather get you down in the hole that he's in. But I mean no harm, nor put fault on anyone living in a vault. But it's all right, Ma, if I can't please him. Old lady judges watch people in pairs, limited in sex they dare, to tell fake morals, insult and stare. While money doesn't talk, it swears. Obscenity, who really cares? Propaganda, all is phony. Well, them that defend what they cannot see with killer's pride, security, it blows their minds most bitterly. For them to think death's honesty won't fall upon them naturally, life sometimes must get lonely. My eyes collide head on with stuffed graveyards, false goals I scuff at, pettiness which plays so rough. Walk upside down inside handcuffs, kick my legs to crash it off, say, all right, I've had enough, what else can you show me? And if my thought dreams could be seen, they'd probably put my head in a guillotine. But it's all right, Ma, it's life and life only.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Chocolate pig.
Only dogs can hear. Did you hear that?
No.
Here is this week's Hudson Valley Congressional Report from WGXC from Philip Grant and myself, Tom Rowe, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives of the Hudson Valley in Congress and the candidates who want to replace them. Current Democrat Representatives Antonio Delgado, Paul Tonko, and Sean Maloney vote with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website. Republican Elise Stefanik voted with Biden's positions 18% of the time.
Murray Thompson reports in the Post Star that on April 4th, Ezra Watson dropped his Democratic election bid for the 21st Congressional District after failing to collect enough signatures on nominating petitions to get on the ballot. That leaves two Democrats attempting to unseat Republican Elise Stefanik. Another Democrat, Bertie Farrell, dropped out of the race in February. But Watson said he will attempt to run in the general election as an independent. He said in a telephone interview on April 4th, and I quote, "I've had Republicans that wanted to sign my Democratic nominating petition. Strange enough, it's the way I'm going to proceed," end quote. That made the Stefanik camp happy. Alex DeGrasse, senior advisor to Stefanik, said, and I quote, "We welcome self-declared socialist Ezra Watson to the race as an independent," end quote. But it will be harder for Watson. Just 1,250 valid signatures of members of the party are required to get on the primary ballot. But to run as an independent, 3,500 valid signatures are required. Meanwhile, in the 19th Congressional District, Mid-Hudson News reports that Representative Antonio Delgado filed petitions with 11,131 signatures on April 4th to run for re-election. Republican Dutchess County Executive Marcus Molinaro is also running in that election. Mid-Hudson News is reporting Colin Schmidt, the Republican and conservative candidate for New York's 18th Congressional District, April 4th, filed designating petitions with the State Board of Elections. He will face incumbent Democrat Sean Patrick Maloney in the November election. Schmidt filed 6,188 signatures, five times the required number for a spot on the Republican ballot line. He submitted 1,445 signatures, three times the required number for Conservative Party access. He currently serves as a state assembly member representing portions of Orange and Rockland counties. The new 18th Congressional District, if it withstands a court challenge, will represent portions of Dutchess, Orange, Ulster, Putnam, and Westchester counties. The State Board of Elections has declared that the March 31st order of the State Supreme Court, which determined the 2022 Congressional Senate and Assembly lines to be unconstitutional, has been stayed pending appeal. That means the filing period for candidates' petitions will remain in place from April 4th to April 7th. Plus, all other deadlines set by law are still in effect pending further court action. Schmidt vowed to fight for residents of the Hudson Valley if elected to the House of Representatives. You can read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Kate Lisa reports for New York State of Politics that the state's upcoming primary elections will proceed as scheduled, an appellate judge ruled April 8th. In addition, the maps defining new congressional Senate and Assembly districts will stay in place for the next several weeks until the next phase of the legal challenge to the state's redistricting process is adjudicated. State Supreme Court Appellate Division Justice Stephen Lindley on April 8th issued a stay to allow New York candidates to continue to canvass, keeping the current general primary election scheduled for June 28th. State Board of Elections deadline for filing petitions is April 11th. A judge with the 4th Department of the state's Appellate Division is expected to issue a decision on the appeal on April 20th. Steuben County Supreme Court Justice Patrick McAllister on March 31st struck down the new maps drawn by the legislature after finding that lawmakers failed to comply with the state constitution and amendments that established the Independent Redistricting Commission in 2014. The legislature and state task force on demographic research and reapportionment could immediately start redrawing the new elective district maps or take no action before then, and possibly be at the mercy of maps crafted by a neutral expert chosen by McAllister if the defendants lose their Court of Appeals challenge this month. Former Congressperson John Faso has accused Democrats of gerrymandering and advocated for the maps to be overturned since they were first drafted in February. Quote, "We are pleased with the decision today, partially lifting the stay," unquote, Faso said in a statement April 8th. Quote, "This will allow Judge McAllister to appoint a special master to redraw the congressional districts in a fair and nonpartisan way, as called for in the New York State Constitution. Ultimately, the decision will rest with the New York State Court of Appeals, but we're encouraged that the direct language in the Constitution prohibiting partisan gerrymandering will guide their ruling," unquote. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com. Mid-Hudson News reports that on April